I Stand Corrected by Patricia Asadegbega. Episode 1, Baloo. They say that in order to leave your mark in this world, you have to plant a tree, bear a son, and write a book. Well, I have been neutered. I dig out more than dig in. So all I can do, dear readers, to attain some form of immortality is to share my story with you all. I do have to warn you that my version of all that occurred is only for those that have a vivid imagination. If you are going to pick up this book and utter an exclamation of, "Cats can't do that," then you really don't know a lot about cats. And if you allow me to make a suggestion, it's best you put this book down and read the newspaper or something similar. Let me introduce myself, so you can start forming an idea about the main character in the events that are about to unfold before your eyes as you turn the pages of this book. My name is Baloo, and I come from the fine and noble breed of the British Shorthair. Now, there are cats everywhere you look, different breeds, sizes, colors, temperament, but we all have one thing in common. We all firmly believe that man was put on this earth for the sole purpose of catering to our needs. When you hear it said that cats tend to look at you with disdain, it is because we feel we are doing you a favor by setting our eyes on you. I am as black as soot, and regarding my general appearance, some might, in ignorance, label me as fat. But I'm actually what the enlightened would call big-boned, and of a stout constitution. This, coupled with my soft, silky fur, makes people compare me to a teddy bear. The most arresting thing about my appearance are my big eyes, bright yellow or orange, depending on the occasion. They go very well with the color of my fur. As humility is not one of my many virtues, I can say without turning a hair or blinking an eye that you shall never find a better-looking specimen than me. You can try, but everyone can't be in the wrong, except you. And besides, it's something I'm being told constantly. The earliest memory that comes to my mind is one in which I'm playing with my brothers under the ever-vigilant stare of my mother. She always is ready to intervene in case we got carried away and played too roughly. She wasn't one to fear taking a swipe at us with her paw to keep us in check. I still remember the way she would hold us down tightly while she groomed us with her raspy tongue, as we desperately struggled for our freedom. One by one, each of us endured this inevitable form of torture that she seemed to enjoy indulging in all too often. If I am a clean cat today, it's because my mother made sure we understood the importance of a good grooming session. Every part of our body was included in this regime. She took her time and made sure of that. To this day, it is a routine no one can distract me from, as it is an exercise that requires my full attention. I have to say, I learned from the best. I think as far as kittens go, we were extremely happy. Everything was a toy to play with or prey to hunt, especially the feet of the very tall and strange creatures we lived with. We had so much fun pouncing on them. They were never fast enough getting out of the way, and we would sink our tiny teeth into their ankles. They would then hold us by the scruff and shake us while talking to us in a stern voice. But we took absolutely no notice, and as soon as we were let down, we would rush to attack another pair of legs. When we weren't sleeping, we would take part in such games or hide behind doors and scare the unsuspecting passerby. We were living the dream life of any kitten. We didn't have a care in the world. Then one day, when we were about 8 weeks old, everything changed. On this particular morning, the dominant male of the house, Pedro, came into the room where we were usually locked in for the night. He had with him a cardboard box. He put five of us in the box and closed the lid. It was all so sudden, I didn't even have time to look at my mother one last time. I did, however, hear her cry as each one of us was taken from her side. The box had little holes in the sides, and we tried desperately to look through them. But we couldn't see anything, as the man had put a cloth over the box, so we were in absolute darkness. We felt as if we were being lifted from the ground, and then we were placed on what seemed to be a not-so-steady surface, as it felt like everything was moving around us. Later in life, I would associate this feeling with car trips. We were so scared. We cried until we lost our voices and could meow no more. Suddenly, the rocking movement stopped, and we felt our box being lifted up again. The lid was opened, and I blinked as I was hit by a blast of light. I looked up to see where we were and saw four pairs of eyes staring down at us. "I will give you 400 euros for five of them." You know people prefer dogs to cats in this country. and until you told me about this breed, I had never heard of it, so I'm guessing it's not very common. My customers are used to me bringing in Persians once in a while, but even those are hard to sell, as so many cats are on the streets or in shelters these days, and they can get them for free if they wanted one. 400 euros? You must be joking. Each one of them would cost that amount. Google the breed and you will see how much they are going for. I can't part with them for that pitiful amount. That's daylight robbery. They have all had their first vaccinations, been well fed and cared for. I need to be able to show a profit from the sale, no matter how small, replied Pedro. Well, you are not a registered breeder. You just mated your cat with the stud that you found advertised online from the same breed, but you haven't done much research or even tested the parents to see if they can be used for such purposes. I'm actually doing you a favor, as you probably won't be able to even find them homes. 400 euros is my final offer, so you can either leave them here or take them and go back the way you came. Look around you. I have other animals. I can't spend more than that on cats. You know most people won't buy a cat when there are so many of them roaming around and living from the waste bins. What do I do with them if I can't sell them? My brothers and I were watching the exchange carefully. We hoped that Pedro would take us back to our mother and not accept the sum that the other man was trying to convince him to take. Finally, we saw him shrug his shoulders and put some money in his wallet. He looked at us once more, patted our heads, and left. One by one, we were removed from the cardboard box and placed into a larger container made from glass. The man who had paid for us was busily taping a paper sign to the front of the glass container. The base of the container we had been moved to was full of shredded paper. There was water available and a food bowl the man had filled with dry kibble. We spent hours crying and hated being in such a small space. Compared to the flat we had been born in, there was hardly any space for us to move about. It was just impossible to chase one another. How did they expect us to play? It wasn't long before we all fell asleep. We were exhausted from the adventures of the day. When I woke up, I lapped some water and looked through the glass frontage of my new surroundings. I could see there were other similar containers to ours and some cages. I took a close look at one in front of me. It was difficult to see, much as it was full of plants. I wondered if there were other kittens like us in there. At first I didn't see anything, but all of a sudden I was startled. There was something crawling slowly in the cage. It looked like the kind of thing I should pounce on and kill, so I readied myself. I calculated the distance and felt that as the other creature had not seen me, the element of surprise was on my side and I would be successful. Mother had shown us how to hunt without our prey even noticing us approaching. Finally, something exciting was about to take place. I assumed the proper position, crouched down, and as much as I could avoid being seen and got ready to jump. That day, I learned a very valuable lesson in life. Always make sure there is no glass panel between you and your prey. Our container was a lively place to be. We were always fighting and playing with the shredded paper when we weren't sleeping on it. At night, everyone would leave the store and they would turn off the lights. It became very quiet. The birds, who are our neighbors and spend a great part of the day singing and making noise, would finally fall asleep too. They made a horrible racket when they were awake. Some of them were so tiny and yet had so much to say. I had hoped someone would just buy them all, especially as I couldn't get at them. It was a constant temptation for us, and we spent a lot of hours watching them and fantasizing about what we would do if the barriers disappeared. In the mornings, as soon as the door opened and the lights were switched on, we all came to life. It was an interior shop with no windows leading to the exterior of the building. I really miss feeling the rays of sunlight coming in through the windows. When we lived with Pedro, he who had abandoned us without giving us a second glance, he would let us out onto the terrace every day for a short while. I have to say, the feeling of the warmth of that natural heat on my fur was priceless. Before opening the shop, the owner or his wife would clean and change the paper bed, provide fresh water, and fill the food bowl. It was something we all looked forward to as we just shared one bowl. It was soon empty after being filled. As soon as the food touched it, it was gone. They never thought of refilling it, so we were always hungry. During the day, people came in and out of the shop all the time. They stopped and looked in all the containers. The adults brought in the children to keep them entertained for a while. They normally just looked and pointed at the various occupants of the display windows while they read out loud the information pasted on each glass. The little ones were always pointing at one animal or the other and crying because they wanted them. Most of the times, they just left the way they came, empty-handed, but sometimes one lucky animal got to leave the container and go into the wide-open space beyond. We watched the dogs next to us. They appeared to have developed a technique that seemed to be working. They would stand near the glass, making sure they were seen. People kept saying how nice they looked, along with the birds, which were often bought. They also got to be a favorite with the daily visitors. Even though it isn't in our nature to make an effort to be liked, we did try to imitate them and get people to notice us. They did. They would look at us and say how cute we were. The effort paid off. One after the other, each of my four brothers got to leave the glass container. I didn't understand why I wasn't picked. I had stood on display with them and even put my adorable little paws on the glass, just like they did. Why hadn't I been chosen, I wondered. It wasn't long until I found out why. I overheard the explanation from the shop owner one day. "We're gonna have to lower the price on this one. It seems no one wants him because he's black. Then if we still can't sell him, we will need to take him to the shelter. He is taking up valuable space. People only want kittens, and the older he gets, the less adorable he will become." I didn't know what the shelter was, but it seemed I would be on my way there sometime soon. Maybe they would be better at finding people who would be interested in taking me out of there. I had even stopped getting up each time someone approached my glass cage. For some reason, my color wasn't right, so why even bother? I wasn't going to get picked. What was the use in me trying? When people came over, I continued sleeping. At least I didn't miss my vital and much-needed rest. That was until the day when I sensed that someone was watching me. I just opened one of my eyes and was just about to close it again when something caught my attention. Rosario. I glance at Javier as we enter the shopping mall. He is in a good mood today. He has decided he wants to get me a belated birthday present and was taking me along to pick what I wanted. Personally, I have always felt that presents should be surprises, even if you make a mistake with your choice. The important thing is that you make an effort and just try to find something you think the other person might like. Taking someone shopping for their own present is something I find incredibly tacky and tasteless. As we walk along the corridors of the crowded mall, people turn to look at us. Some take photographs with their mobile phones. They don't even bother to hide the fact that they're doing that. I know it will appear in the press the next day. Rosario and Javier out on a Saturday. Everything we do seems to be of interest. We are considered by the public as one of the most glamorous couples on the social scene. People seem to be so interested in the lives of others, and there is so much media dedicated to celebrity these days, due to popular demand. Each time we go out, we find evidence of our outing on the internet or in the weekly society and gossip magazines. Most of the time, the headline attached to the photograph has nothing to do with reality. This has been part of our life for so long that it doesn't bother me anymore. Javier keeps looking at me as we pass different shops to see if I show interest in anything, but nothing catches my eye, and I really intend to stick to my guns on this one. I won't be bought. I should have received my gift 2 months ago. Suddenly, we stop in front of a pet shop and he walks in. I stay outside waiting for him to come back out. The last thing that I want now is an animal. It is a responsibility that I don't feel capable of taking on at the moment. When he comes back, he grabs me by the arm and pulls me inside the shop. There are so many animals and birds, the shop also stocks everything they need for their care. Everything anyone could ever need to care for them. Javier leads me to the puppy section. I see that they have different breeds. They even have golden retrievers. I'm familiar with those after seeing them in TV adverts. They are cute, but I know I'm not up to the task of committing to daily walks. We have seen a lot of shops and you haven't entered any, so I will decide for you. After all, it is my gift to you. I only brought you along so as not to make a mistake. I think I will buy you a dog. Just let me know which one you want. I glance at him. He has a real look of determination on his face. I know that if I don't do something quickly, we will be leaving the shop with a dog. I decide to humor him and choose what I think will be the lowest maintenance animal in the shop. The owner had greeted us very warmly when we entered and had followed us closely around his shop. I even saw him discreetly take a photograph with his mobile phone. As soon as he heard my husband's words, he immediately started to try to sell us one of the dogs. He proceeded to tell us about each and every one of them. I look at the animals in their glass cubicles, and I feel so sorry for them all, spending their days waiting for someone to show an interest and buy them their freedom. It is my present, so I will pick the animal I want, and I'm not ready for a dog. Frankly, neither are you, as we both spend a lot of hours away from home. As I know that it will be my pet and I will have to take care of it, then it should be my decision. That's fair. Take a look around and let me know what you want. I do feel one of these adorable puppies will make a very good companion for you. Just look at them. They are so cute. I leave him looking at the dogs while the owner rushes after me. He realizes the decision lies in my hands, and he wants to be the one to sell Rosario Dominguez a pet. He tries to steer me towards the exotic bird area. They have some very attractive specimens, and I go with him just out of politeness. But I know that I will be leaving there with a fish. I smile at him as he takes me from cage to cage. He points out why each bird is better than the previous one. I listen and nod my head at all the appropriate moments. Meanwhile, I have discovered where the fish tanks are, and I move towards that area. On the way there, we pass a corridor, and I see Javier looking at a glass box. I stop and look too. I'm hoping it's not a snake. If it were, I would have to quickly steer him away. I have a mortal fear of snakes and can't risk going home with one. At that precise moment, a small, round, black kitten opens one of its eyes and then closes it again. It then proceeds to lazily open both eyes and then fixes them on me. He stares at me for a second, as if deciding if I'm worth stretching and getting up for. It seems like he thinks I am, because he does just that. Having read the information pasted on the glass frontage of his container, I note that he is a male cat. It says he's a British Shorthair, he has yellow eyes, he is completely black, and has a round face and a stocky body. I'm not that well versed on cat breeds. I have only seen Siamese and Persian cats before. This breed is new to me. I kneel in front of the container. He comes close to the glass. We just stare at each other. That's when I decide that I won't be taking a fish home. I have never heard of this cat breed. Where is it popular? I have not seen it here in Spain before. A friend of mine has one of them, and I got the litter through him. He is the last one remaining. He came here with his four brothers. Like you, I had never seen this type of cat before. It does seem to be well known in England, though. How old is he? I ask. He is 12 weeks old now. He is quiet and no trouble at all. He spends most of the day sleeping. Javier, this is what I want. So if your offer still stands, this is the birthday present I'll accept from you. I don't like cats. They are sneaky, sly creatures. Look at the way he's staring at us. Like he is doing us a favor by interrupting his sleep and taking time to consider if we're worthy of him. Also, there must be a reason why all his brothers are gone and he is still here. I have looked at the puppies. They all came over to greet me and put their paws against the glass, wagging their little tails. Wouldn't you prefer a friendlier animal? With a puppy, you know you will be getting eternal devotion. With this one? Señor Cantora, people haven't chosen him because of his color. There are some superstitions about black cats, but there is absolutely nothing wrong with him. He is in excellent health. It's amazing how ignorant people are. Good and bad things happen whether you come across a black cat or not. He looks just right for a belated gift. I see he doesn't have a name. Baloo seems just right for him, I declare with a smile. I look at Javier as I say this. He sighs and makes a comment to the shopkeeper about women always getting their way. The shopkeeper happily gets everything ready, managing to sell us all we need for the cat's future care. He also proceeds to sell some things that are most unnecessary. Baloo. From the first moment that I set my open eye on him, I disliked him intensely. I proceeded to close it right back and not give that man any reason to want to take me, especially as I had heard I was going to be taken to the shelter. It had to be better than going anywhere with cold eyes. Just as I had decided to go back to sleep, I felt another presence. So being of a curious nature, I gave one more chance to whoever had decided to peer in at me. When I opened my eyes, I fixed them on the newcomer. There was something about the way she looked that was really captivating, and for the first time, I didn't feel like going back to sleep. which was my favorite pastime. She must have felt the same way because I heard her say she wanted me. I perked up after hearing those words. No one had wanted me before. Could this finally be happening? Was I about to get my freedom? Cold Eyes didn't seem to like the idea and was trying to get her to pick something else, but she looked at me and said I was what she wanted. The man who had fed me and cleaned my box all this time took me out of it and handed me over to her. She held me and stroked me. I didn't mind the latter, but I wish she would just put me down. I don't like being so far from the floor. She is new at this, but we are going to have to change that habit quickly. The man who had wanted to take me to the shelter gave them a lot of things he said I would need, and that I liked. I wondered why, if he felt I liked them so much, in all the time that we had spent together, he had never given them to me before. I felt a sense of freedom, even though they put me in another box to take me out of the shop and go to my new home. I was taken to my new home, in my new carrier. The journey was far more comfortable than my first car ride. My new carrier would with some time symbolize an impending vet visit, so I came to hate it after a while. I was able to see quite a bit through the sides of the carrier. So when we arrived at what was to be my new home, I was shocked to see just how massive it was. Compared to the 3-bedroom apartment that I was born in, which I had actually thought was huge after spending those weeks in my glass container in the shop, this looked like a palace. Of course, not to break old habits, I had cried all the way home. But as we arrived, there was no sound coming out of my open mouth. I was experiencing so many emotions at the same time. The joy of leaving the shop, the fear of my new life, and the fact that I had a very distinct and clear feeling that there was something not quite right about the man who had driven us home in disapproving silence. At first, I was put in a room with only my litter, water, and food for company. I spent some time hiding in a cupboard. Then when no one was with me, I explored the rest of the room. Rosario came to sit with me very regularly. She would put out her hand so I would smell her whilst she would talk to me. Little by little, I got to know her, and after a little while, I would peek out from under the bed each time I heard the door open. I wanted to know who was coming in, and then I could decide if I wanted to be seen or not. In all fairness, Javier, alias Cold Eyes, tried to show some interest in me, but I didn't like him. I decided to keep well out of his way and not encourage any form of familiarity. A short while later, I was led out of the room. I couldn't believe my eyes. There were so many other rooms, so many large corridors I could run across, and so many curtains to climb. I noticed people didn't like me climbing curtains, though. I was constantly being pulled down from them. But I kept trying to reach the top. When no one was looking, I'd race to the top and wait for them to get me down. It took me some time to perfect the return route. I spent so many hours just running around because there was so much to see and investigate. So many hiding places and sleeping spots. So many new things to smell. The one place I loved being was in the kitchen. They had a woman who cooked for them. She would put me on a stool next to the worktop so I could see what she was doing. It was a warm and cozy room. Cook was my second favorite person in the house. She would pet me and say I was the cat she loved most in the whole world. I did wonder how many cats she actually knew. There was a door that led to outside. This was usually shut, but she let me out with her when she was going to throw away rubbish or pick vegetables from the large garden behind the kitchen. Rosario said I was too young to go out, but Cook used to sneak me out with her. I loved lying down on the grass and sleeping while the sun just did its work and warmed me up. There were so many things to chase in the big garden. Leaves, butterflies, birds, you name it. If it moved, it was worth pursuing. So it was no surprise that I was always looking for an opportunity to escape outside. For the first 3 weeks I lived in the house, I didn't see too much of Rosario, and since I had decided she was my favorite person in the world, this wasn't a satisfactory arrangement for me at all. She would wake up late. It was a good thing that she wasn't in charge of the most important meal of the day for me, which was breakfast. She would always look for me to pick me. I still didn't like being picked up and had hoped she would see by the expression on my face what an unpleasant moment it was for me. I would follow her from room to room because I liked being near her, keeping a safe distance at all times and to avoid giving her the opportunity to pick me up. However, it was something she did whenever she saw me. I soon taught her that carrying me like a baby was not right. I needed to see the floor and things around me. I hated staring at the ceiling belly up. I did enjoy riding on her shoulder, though. When she picked me up, I'd find a way to get on there and we would go around the house in this manner. a much better arrangement for me. Javier, on the other hand, was a different story. I stayed away from him. Inevitably, though, we sometimes did have to pass each other, at which times I walked ahead as if he didn't exist. Whenever he tried to pick me up, I made sure he put me down quickly by decorating his arms with my claws. This did the trick every single time. When he complained to Rosario, she would question what he said, as I had never scratched her. She told him that he must be doing something wrong or somehow hurting me. I resorted to getting her out of bed earlier. I would go to her room in the mornings and watch her. She would just be staring at the ceiling or the wall. This could not be normal. Someone spending so much time in bed, not actually sleeping, just looking at a fixed spot? There was something seriously wrong with this woman. I wasn't able to climb to the bed as yet. I was still too small, so I'd cry out to be picked up. Once on the bed, I would make such a fuss running under the duvet and hunting her feet that she would laugh and get up. Then our day would begin and I'd just follow her around. That is except for when she disappeared for a few hours. To stay up to date with Patricia Acedegbega's work, make sure to subscribe to this YouTube channel by clicking on the subscribe button and hit the bell for notifications.